Hello.
Good evening, Councilwoman. How are you?
I'm fine.
All right, we are about to start. Ladies and gentlemen, adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 8, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Donna?
Here.
Mr. Pelzeri?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Tickton?
Here.
Mayor Allen?
Here. Just a couple of quick opening matters. As discussed at the last meeting, I met with Assemblyman Clifton and Dancer to talk about a couple of things. One was potential financing. The other was the manner in which corporations have to spread the cost of sewer rates across their ratepayer base, as they do with water, something we've discussed before. They are setting up a meeting with the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission, which is what I always call it, but Jill will probably correct
BPU.
Me.
BPU.
Huh?
BPU.
Board of Public Utilities.
Thank you. So with the BPU, with me and Councilwoman Lapode on her return probably around September 6th. Peosha came out, part of Peosha came out. There are several divisions. The first division came out, which was the safety division as opposed to the health division. I think they're three cubicles apart, but they stagger themselves by 30 days. So far, they've only primarily inspected the firehouse. They had comments about electrical, structural, drainage, grading. The fire department also received several violations relating to record keeping, old foam, weights in the building, and lack of a hazard plan. They've advised us that they have sent the formal notification by certified mail. We have not yet received it. They have the ability to fine us up to $7,000 a day for noncompliance. We would expect that it would be a lesser amount, but it's still going to be a lot of money. And then we still have to wait for the health division of Peosha to come up. Had discussion with Millstone. After adding in Roosevelt's assessed valuation, they were able to get their effective rate down to 9.5 cents per 100 assessed valuation from approximately 11, which would reduce annual payments from approximately $92,000 a year to $80,000 a year. Over 20 years, this would reduce payments approximately $252,000. Okay. Still far above the other options, but it's a reduction. Mr. Trammell, I'll talk to you after the meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
Not in public?
Well, I can do it in public. I read your letter.
Okay.
I want to let you know that in my mind that was not anywhere near what I said, but I went back, I listened to the tape several times, I made a transcript. I understand why you heard what you heard. What I was saying was not how it is that you voted or how you would vote. Sorry, what I intended to say was not how you voted or how you planned on voting, but that you had alternative plans, which might cause you to want to take a different approach.
Okay.
But when I go back through the transcript, that's not what it sounded like. So I just want to make clear that's what I meant. Okay. So
thank you.
Thank you. We now move to public comment on the consent agenda. And to the extent it's not clear, the consent agenda includes Resolution 1682, the extension of the due date and payment of bills. And then we start a new section called resolutions. Somewhat unclear. Would somebody like to introduce Resolution 16-82?
Introduce Resolution 1682, authorizing an extension of the due date for the fourth quarter taxes. And what is the date? September 15th, I believe. September 15th.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second.
that delay, you're never going to be able to make it to the post first, Jill.
Fine. I can see the Peggy. She's the second.
Excuse me, does the public get to comment on the consent agenda?
Yes.
When?
You were doing them individually. I think, I don't know if you meant to do that. You called them
No, I did not mean to do that. You're absolutely correct. Okay, so let's go back to the public comment.
Right.
Okay. Comments from the public on the consent agenda.
Hi, Austin Oxlaw, 50 Pine Drive. I would like council to comment on resolution 1683.
1683 is not part of the consent agenda.
Okay, so...
That's what I was saying. That'll come after the consent agenda.
The first two items are on the consent agenda. There should be...
You'll see it says consent agenda.
Oh, so you're not voting on that resolution?
Not yet, no.
Next time? In 2 weeks?
No, after the consent agenda.
It's misleading the way it's written here. It should be, there should be a separation. There isn't. That's what he's saying.
So below you see ordinances, and then
but
above
that
you see...
But you'll be voting on that resolution?
What we're voting on now is the resolution authorizing extension of the due date for the payment of taxes and the
payment
of
bills.
That's the consent agenda, those two things. That's all. And then the other things come afterwards.
But doesn't consent mean that you're voting on things?
No, the consent agenda includes those particular items that we're voting on together. So we are voting
so
on...
So you're not voting on resolution 1683?
Not at the moment.
So you'll have a separate public comment time for resolution 16?
Yes, there is public comment on
because I've never, I don't remember you ever, like, chunking up the public comment. But that's fine. I'll wait until the second, and then you'll have a third round of public comment after the, is that right? After, for now.
Well, normally we wouldn't have public comment until the end, which is how it normally works.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand. Public comment on the consent agenda.
Right.
So you're saying there's two consent agendas?
No. There's one consent agenda. It includes resolution 16-82, and it includes payment of bills.
Okay.
Okay. Then we go on to other resolutions, which are not in the consent agenda, and then we go on to ordinances.
And do you vote on 1683?
We will vote on 1683.
This
so
is sort of out of order. It shouldn't even be written there. That's why it's hard.
Well, it should be written there. But if you want to make a comment on 1683,
yeah.
I'll give you the
opportunity
to make
usually, aren't you usually allowed to make a comment?
No.
And
but
something
I have no
that's
problem.
Being voted on?
Excuse me. Could you direct your questions to the mayor?
Could I?
No,
I don't. Is the mayor the one that always answers every question?
Actually, according to our ordinances.
Because that's not the way it was with the former mayor, but go ahead if you feel that that's what you need to do. But, so what is it exactly?
What is what exactly?
Explain it to me, please.
The order of business.
I'm sorry. Okay, the order of business is the consent agenda, which includes resolution 16-82 and the payment of bills. After that, we are considering another resolution. You've said you'd like to comment on that.
Okay.
Normally, we do not. That would not happen until the end of the meeting. However, since you have specifically asked to comment on it, I've said we'll give you the opportunity to comment.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any comments on the consent agenda? Sure.
Point of the information, Trammell Pine Drive. We're talking about taxes for the third quarter, not the fourth quarter?
That's right. This is the third quarter. July, August, September is the third quarter.
The due date,
payable August
well,
quarter.
It's talking about the due date for the fourth quarter of 19.
Ah, it should be say the third quarter.
Should
correct.
Say the third quarter,
that's correct.
Yes.
It should say the third quarter. Very good catch.
Thank you.
Okay, so we need to change 16-82. So first paragraph, sorry, the second whereas in resolution 16-82,
yeah.
Second line becomes third quarter. Next whereas, necessary to extend to the third quarter, and in the therefore paragraph. other public comments on the consent agenda? There being none, please call the roll.
Ms. Bono?
Aye.
Ms. Joe Salazar?
Aye.
Ms. Lapone?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tecton?
Aye.
We now move to Resolution 16-83. Would somebody like to make a motion to introduce it for discussion?
Okay. Introduce Resolution 16-83.
And do we have a second to Mr. Tecton?
Second.
Okay, so Resolution 16-83 would effectively rescind Resolution 16-81. 16-81 was the resolution that would direct the Planning Board to consider the borough properties at 33 as being part of a redevelopment zone.
I have a few questions about this.
Okay.
So, number one, how did this come to be? Like, why is this on here? Why are we now, not we, why is it now being asked to be rescinded when you just passed that redevelopment?
Well, a lot of people were upset about the fact that we had passed the initial resolution and did not like the timing. And so I suggested this resolution for the purpose of rescinding it.
So you
we have other options as to, I mean, part of the problem had to do with the fact that we had these inspections and we might have to react quickly. We didn't want to be forced.
What does reacting quickly have to do with rescinding the property as a the Borough Hall as a redevelopment property?
I was talking about the initial resolution, the timing of the initial resolution. I was concerned about where we would be able to do something if, in part, if Peosha came out with some of the results it was coming out with. And it had always been assumed, I think, that that anything that was built would be built on borough property. So this was to cover that possibility. However, a number of people expressed dissatisfaction with that resolution. Thought that it was, I think you said, had been slipped in at the last minute. And so I propose rescinding it. There are other places to put a building if we have to.
So this is a unilateral decision? You just decided that after the last vote that you would now, we should now
no, actually,
it.
I proposed a resolution, which is what we do to present something to the council.
Right, but I'm wondering when you made this decision.
Sometime last week. It's not an ordinance. I can't veto it. So the council has to have a resolution if they want to rescind the first resolution. So I put it on for discussion. You objected to the first resolution.
No,
I'm not
I
sure
didn't.
Why you're objecting to
no,
the
I
ju- decision.
No, I wonder how all of a sudden these things just appear with no discussion. I never heard, beside myself, that anyone was upset with the timing or, like, things just appear here without any prior discussion.
They have always, we can't have a prior discussion. That violates Oprah.
At a meeting.
Well, this is the first meeting.
Just
we're
like
discussing
the redevelopment property, redeveloping the borough property sort of appeared one day, and then now this appears to rescind it. So I'm just wondering how these things just sort of pop up all the time. Who decided that? So it was you last week.
I'm a little confused. Resolution 16-82, authorizing the extension of the due date for the third quarter 2016 tax payments. Just popped up. Every resolution that we do
right,
just
that
pops up.
No, but things concerning taxes and emergency appropriations, those things pop up all the time. These are major. First, you decided that you wanted the borough property.
No, I didn't decide.
Well, when I asked you who decided, you said some people had worked on it. When I asked you who, you said you didn't want to say.
Correct.
Well, this is we're in a public meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have an obligation to say who worked on it. Everything's supposed to be open and in the public. I said, did you decide this? You said, no, some people worked on it. I said, who? You said, I don't want to say. So now I'm wondering how this appeared, who worked on this, who made the decision that, okay, it's not a good idea at this point to designate the borough property as a redevelopment. We should rescind it. I'm just wondering now, this time, who did it? But now you're taking whatever word you want to use, responsibility or whatever for it.
I'm not, but my confusion is Your suggestion is that the council should get together before the agenda.
No, I never said that. I would think that it would be discussed before it came became a resolution. New business, whatever.
Who would discuss it?
Well, since you decided it, you could bring it up. I was thinking that a lot of people were upset about the timing, so I'm thinking about maybe rescinding that. I mean, it's a complete opposite of what was passed the last meeting.
It's a rescission of what was passed.
I understand that. I just want to know who's making these, who's deciding these things. You wouldn't say the first time who worked on it.
Every resolution, because if they wanted to raise their hand, they could have raised their hand, and they didn't. And it's not my job to point at people.
This is supposed to be open public government.
It is an open public government.
Well, if you have a resolution on there when you wanted to designate the borough property as a redevelopment property, you don't want to say who worked on it.
Okay, so once again, who wrote Resolution 16-82?
Probably George Lang.
Not probably. Who wrote it? So that appeared. Every resolution appears on the agenda.
No, but
these
are about...
They can't be discussed without being on the agenda.
Jeff, you're trying to dupe the public. You're trying to change everything around. You're saying now there's other properties that we can develop, such as what? The gas station at the planning board was decided that would never be the fire station. Is that one of the things you're considering now since you don't want to do the borough hall?
It's not a question of not wanting to do the borough hall. But let's back up, okay? Because I do take affront at the phrase dupe. So let's try this again carefully. The procedure is, thou shalt not discuss matters of the council.
You do not lecture me that way. I understand how it works. I've been on this council longer than anyone at the table.
Well, clearly you don't
understand
how it works.
No, I think that...
Do you know how many resolutions are prepared before every meeting?
Every time we turn around, there's something you're changing around. You want to develop the borough property as a redevelopment property so that nothing can be, so it can't be brought to a referendum. Now you're saying, no, let's take that back for various reasons, and there's other properties we could develop, such as what?
There have always been other properties that we can develop.
Such as what?
I still want to stick with the procedure. What is the procedure for introducing something for discussion at the council?
It could have been brought up as new business tonight. I was thinking that I would like to rescind the ordinance that we passed at the last meeting.
Then what's the problem? That's what this does.
Well, and I also want to know who thought of it. That was my first question. How did this come to you? Who decided this? So you said you.
I did. You were unhappy with the
way
things proceeded last week.
Oh, I don't think you did it for me. I'm sure you must have heard from other people.
Okay. Are you in favor of this resolution? Are you against this resolution? Do you have thoughts on this resolution?
Well, I'd like to know what this is in conjunction with. You're saying that there's other properties that can be developed, such as?
For the past 5 years, we have been able to, 4 years, I think, we have been able to build whatever we wanted on any redevelopment property in town.
I understand that. But
okay.
As far as the gas station, it was stated that would not be for the fire, a new firehouse. That was stated at a planning board meeting. Another redevelopment property we have, I don't think, is large enough to put any kind of firehouse in Rochdale.
We have the gas station property.
You said at a planning board meeting that would not be...
That was not the intention, that's right.
Right. Oh, so you're so now it's semantics. It was not the intention, but it could go there.
It absolutely could go there. It was always possible to put it there. However, the problem with putting it there is, as has been stated by people in the audience, you lose the ratable.
I understand that.
Okay. So it's preferable not to put it there.
Well, preferable is another word that can be construed. Yes, it's preferable, but... I think that by rescinding this, now you want the gas station property.
No.
And believe me, I didn't want it here. As you know, I voted no. So it's not as if I was in favor of putting it here, and now I'm upset that you're taking it away. I'm just trying to see all the workings behind the scenes of how this is all coming to be and what you're thinking about doing in the future.
What I was thinking about doing was that if the good people of the borough of Roosevelt chose option one, that option one would be built on borough property. If they chose option two would be built on borough property. That apparently is not going to work. Hence, we have to look at other properties. Now, in
So can you explain again why it won't work? Is that because of what Peosha found? I mean, why exactly won't it work?
Because
we're
not passing Resolution 16-81.
Right, I understand that. Because the timing, as you said, people are upset with the timing. What exactly led to you deciding, okay, we won't do it here?
No, nothing led to me to decide we're not doing it here. What I thought would be worth discussing, and therefore submitted in the form of a resolution, which is how we normally introduce things to the council, was that we ought to discuss the rescission of 16-81. You don't want to rescind 1681? Vote against it.
You didn't discuss it. You just stated it. I
put a resolution out here for discussion.
That's what I want to
know. Introduction, second, discussion.
And that's what I want to know. Why exactly did you change your mind? Is it because of the timing? Because people were upset?
Repeating it seven times is not going to help. I've answered your question.
No, you haven't answered it seven times. But
okay. I'll land three more times. I did it because people were upset at the time, and they questioned why it came in at that time. They did not believe it had to do with Peosha. It wasn't worth making everybody angry. It wasn't worth making an area of distrust just to push that resolution. So I said, fine, let's do a resolution to rescind it, have the council discuss it. If you want to rescind it, we can rescind it. I mean, you're there at the first one saying, I don't want it.
I understand. You know how I understand. I just don't trust what's going on here, that's all. I mean,
okay.
I think that's clear.
Is that the end of your comment?
The end of my comment.
Okay. Would anybody else on the council like to say anything about this? Pro,
yes.
Con? Yes, Ms. Lapode.
There's a discrepancy. The actual resolution reads that it would rescind Resolution 16-80. I believe that
you
want to.
Yeah, you don't have the updated one. Sorry about that one.
No, I saw
that. It got revised. My apologies.
Okay. Thank you.
The only redevelopment properties would be either the gas station or the lot on the other side, which is a separate lot, which is also a redevelopment property.
Yes, that is correct.
So that still leaves the possibility, if Peosha pushes us to do something immediately, we still have the option to do something immediately?
Yes. Either the southern or the northern portion of the gas station lot. You wanted to comment.
Is this the public portion now?
We're making a public portion.
Okay, I didn't know what the council was doing. I'll follow you if I need to.
Okay. Sankoff's Law, 50 Pine Drive. I guess I have a follow-up question from Peggy's question, because it is difficult. So I can only speak from being on the school board, but generally when we have a resolution that we vote on, we really have a sense of what it means in terms of the big picture. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We really have a sense of what it means in terms of the big picture. So I'm curious as to how council, obviously you must know nothing if it was just brought up today. Is that correct?
No, they're delivered ahead of time to the council.
No, I mean besides what's written on here. I'm saying, let me back up again. When I'm at the school board, and we have a resolution, we all come to the table knowing what that resolution, what the import of that is, what the impact of it is, what the possible outcomes of that might be. It's not just about, you know, saying yes or no to one little thing. It's looking at the whole picture. And the only way that can happen is through discussion. So generally, what we do is we have discussions before we decide to introduce a resolution. Now, I know that you don't use the committee system. We actually got rid of it as well. But we tend to have pretty lengthy discussions and tend not to put the ordinance on the agenda. I mean, the resolution, excuse me, until a future meeting so that you have time to chew on it, you know what's happening, the public knows what's happening, and there's just a general exchange of information. So I'm just wondering if any of that happened, and am I allowed to address the council? Because I thought it was strong council week. Okay, because as I recall, Mayor, you often spoke as a council person, and I can give you those tapes and show you all the times that you responded to the public.
Any council person can respond. Questions are to be directed to the person leading the meeting, either the mayor or his or her substitute.
But you did not follow those rules as a council person.
Sure I did.
You did? You answered many questions directly to me.
Any person here can answer any question. The question is directed to the mayor or other person leading the meeting.
Okay, so I have to look at you and then somebody else can...
You can ask the question. If somebody else wants to answer it, they can answer it.
Okay, so I am asking...
As a matter of fact, I'd be thrilled if they'd answer it.
Yeah. No, I'm just... because you are our elected officials. And I know that you have good, you know, a good head on your shoulders. So is there any need in your mind for a discussion about what the repercussions of this ordinance is or the one that you agreed to before that you now will rescind? Did you have any background information or ideas? Was there a discussion about building the structure somewhere else?
I think we discussed every resolution before anybody votes on it.
When did you discuss it?
Whether you know exactly what you intend to vote on before you get here, by the time any of us votes on something, I think we're all pretty comfortable with what it means.
Okay, because so you're saying that, like, the two very short questions that were just asked, that is enough of a discussion for you? That is what you consider your discussion, because you never talked about it before, right?
Not to rescind it, but I don't think we're done discussing it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's over yet. You know, before I vote on something, I'd like to know some more. Okay?
Absolutely.
I mean, actually, first of all, I did ask you about what it actually means as far as... My concern is, if we have to act, do we have the option to act?
We have the option to act. We have always had the option to, well, for several years we've had the option to act. We have the option to act, whether it is a result of the POSHA or the JIF or the other inspections that we expect to happen, or upon receipt of the vote on November 9th. We have the option to act, whether any of those happen or not. So if we had decided last week to build something at the gas station or other redevelopment property, we could have done that. Obviously, we chose not to.
Is there any reason why this has to be decided tonight? Can someone make a motion that we not vote on it tonight?
Sure.
We
can just
make a motion to table.
Yeah, make a motion to table. It will then be sent to the planning board. And the timing of this is the next planning board meeting is on Tuesday. So if the original resolution stays in effect, then it'll be presented to the planning board, but I don't see that as a major issue.
Not tomorrow, next Tuesday after Labor Day.
Yes. If somebody wants to make a motion to table, make a motion to table.
Well, why couldn't we discuss it tonight?
I'm fine with discussing it. We're in, it was, you know, according to our rules, to discuss a resolution or an ordinance, there has to be a motion and a second, and then discussion. We had a motion. We had second. I asked for discussion. In fact, you discussed it.
I did.
Okay.
Peggy, other than the fact that you have umbrage with how the mayor put it on the agenda tonight, do you have anything with the substance?
No, I have no problem with rescinding it. I just wonder what that's leading to. This is obviously a chain. If we're not going to redevelop the borough property, if we're not going to designate the borough property as a redevelopment property, then, and if the voters do choose the option to build a four-bay firehouse, so what does that mean? Are we, if it can't be here, then we're obviously, I can't imagine where else it would go besides the gas station, which was supposed to be a ratable and not the fire station.
It can go on the property north of the gas station. Or it could go on 19 if it's a redevelopment at that point.
If the borough, in fact, acquires it. Yeah. The borough's not acquired.
So are you talking about either the gas station or the property north of the gas station?
Jeff Sean, Tomorrow Drive. I have a couple of things. Why can't the emergency services be positioned on the borough property if it's not a designated or redevelopment area?
It's not that it can't be positioned here. What is likely to happen, as was confirmed at our last meeting, what is likely to happen is that the voters of Roosevelt will vote on option one or option two. In order to build what is required by option one or option two, we will then have to go out for a bond. Mm-hmm. The moment we go out for a bond, the bond will be challenged. Mm-hmm. And we will go through this whole circuit, this whole very expensive circuit, again. Mm-hmm. And since the matter is being put to the voters, we're trying to assure that whatever it is they vote for gets done.
Okay. Well, to back up, I do have to state my protest about many things. And one is that, again, the questions that are going before the public are completely unfair because they're too limited in their options. And that all gets back to the makeup of the advisory committee, which was extremely unfair and improper. It should have reflected the results. The population of the committee should have reflected the results of the referendum. And the other thing is that a lot of what people are upset about, and if you're concerned about people being upset, I think this is very important, and that is to get back to what Peggy was saying. I have only paid any attention to local politics for the last year, as you know, when this question came up, because I was appalled at the amount of money that was going to be required given the other needs of the borough. And people since have told me that once upon a time in Roosevelt, the council operated with a different system, which is that there was what's called an agenda meeting first. And that was where ideas about possible resolutions were brought up and discussed on the council. And from that, a resolution was generated instead of an individual not in a public venue coming up with a resolution privately, essentially. And that generates, the way you are doing things generates the public perception that transparency doesn't exist, that there's too much going on behind the scenes, and the ideas about the community are not developed in public in an open public committee meeting, which you no longer have, or in a regular council meeting. So then suddenly there's a resolution on the agenda that matters to people, and it's voted on in a very summary fashion. And so this, if you want to understand why people are upset, I believe that that's why people are upset. And also, just to finish why people are upset, I am very upset about the way the negotiations with Millstone Fire Company have been handled, because I think that that was a really viable option for our community that would have enabled us to perhaps focus on having a much better support for our first aid squad while all the issues, violations, and so on related to the fire company would be quickly resolved by by contracting with Millstone. But again, I believe that you personally opened the negotiation with Millstone at $30,000. Why would they say no? There's so many other ways that negotiation could have been gone about, and I think that you did a job that was a real disservice to the community. And now we're stuck with this huge projection for 20 years. Of course people are going to say, if something is going to cost $2,700,000 as opposed to $1,600,000, and now you've said there'll be a tiny reduction, you know, of course they're going to choose the $1,600,000. So we're back to square one.
What would you have proposed?
I'm not a professional negotiator, and perhaps that's what we needed for that business with Millstone. People have said all kinds of things, like, for instance, apparently there's a possibility of a contract that would end up with an end-of-the-year bill based on the number of responses that Millstone had made. And a fee per response, and perhaps category of response, who knows. There just were a lot of options besides handing them $30,000, which you then have said is going to, after 3 or 4 years, pop up to $90,000. So then you come up with this great $2,700,000 total, which is...
Why do you think you had them here?
Mm-hmm.
They were here.
Yeah.
Why
we were not discussing numbers.
Why do you think we're coming up with those numbers?
Because you offered them $30,000.
Well,
and
I
they have told...
I offered them $30,000 after a long meeting with a pre-negotiation meeting with Mr. Ticton,
and Bob
Ms. Lapote, and Bob Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was the agreed number to go in with.
I'm not sure that that's the case.
Well, I'll be glad to show you the notes. But as far as how resolutions are introduced, for the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
resolutions have been introduced by individual council members and by our CFO and by others at a meeting.
And voted at that meeting?
Very often, yes. The reason that, at least that I do it, is because if you are going to vote on something, I would much prefer to see what it is I'm actually voting on. What's the wording? What does it say? And so I always take the time to prepare a form of resolution. As I said at the beginning of this meeting, and as I said to Councilwoman Malkin a couple of times, I introduced this for discussion. There's nothing that requires it
to be passed or not passed. I think that you are so closed in your own way of looking at it that you can't hear what's being said to you. And
I'm hearing loud and clear. I'm hearing, let's see, I'm underhanded, I'm a liar. I'm hearing all kinds of things.
I didn't say any of those things.
I didn't say it was from you. However.
But why are you hearing it? I believe you're hearing it because the process isn't ideal, because there isn't enough open public discussion before ideas are formulated. Before the referendum in December, those of us who felt that the ordinance should be defeated had many different ideas about why we thought it should be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And so from time to time, a number of us got together And those meetings were really gratifying because people offered different points of view, different thoughts, and the result of listening to each other and hearing different thoughts was ideas that nobody had come into that room with in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of thinking that produces good ideas that don't make people angry.
But those ideas...
And that's all I want to say.
Many of those ideas were presented to the council. Some of them were good ideas and were adopted. Some of them simply didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They were all presented. They were all discussed up here. And the fact that the council, as a general rule, reached a different decision than you does not make any of them or us evil. It doesn't make us not listening.
We can think about these thoughts without labeling them evil, without labeling people liars. That prevents thinking.
Yes, I agree.
But
I'm simply pointing out that many of those ideas were, if not all of those ideas, were presented here. They were also presented to the commission. I know you don't like the commission, but they were presented here, and they were discussed at length.
Mm-hmm.
And then people voted on what they thought was the best idea. That doesn't mean that people didn't listen.
Well, the other point, the other situation that tends to be taken badly by the public is an example of which is this. After the referendum,
mm-hmm.
Those of us who wanted the ordinance to be defeated got together acknowledging the fact that there were very important problems that needed to be resolved. And we discussed what we thought could be done to come to a proper solution for these problems. And we came up with the idea of an advisory committee. And we decided that I would come to the council and propose this. And I did. And the response from the... I bet if you go back and check, you're going to find that I'm telling the truth. The response was a resounding, total silence. And it and that is often what happens in council meetings when the public speaks, that there is no response whatsoever. There isn't even... it's something that we should think about or, you know... There's nothing. And so it does make you wonder if they're not talking during the meeting and then things are getting on an agenda and then things are getting decided, well, how are those council people communicating? It doesn't seem transparent. And I am just saying these things in the interest of the community, because I think we ought to function better, and I think that all this animosity is very unfortunate, and it doesn't have to exist if there are some alterations in the way council conducts business. That's
it. We are discussing them at this meeting.
That's about time, yeah.
That is a public, it's public knowledge. If I call Jeff up and say, hey, Jeff, why don't you say we get together and, you know, stick it to everybody? That's not something.
No, I know. The discussion is just very minimal. I believe that after Peggy spoke and you asked one question, that it seemed as though the council discussion was over, and that was when Ben Asanka spoke. And, you know, there wasn't much discussion.
Okay. In fairness, though, the request was made to have a public discussion. I didn't see much sense in voting and then having the public discussion.
Exactly.
So I opened it up to the table. Then I asked for the public to speak. We haven't voted on anything.
Right. That's a definite step in the right direction.
Okay. I also agree with you on transparency. It's why we post the agenda on the Facebook page. I'm sorry, on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's why we try to send out emails with the agendas. So to the extent that, you know, additional transparency can come about by doing additional things, I'm all in favor of it. I push the website, I push the mailing list, I push the Facebook page. I want people to know what's going on ahead of time, because it certainly makes it easier for everybody to know what it is we're talking about. Again, I will disagree respectfully with how things are submitted. I was just taught you produce what it is you want somebody to vote on. You don't have a general discussion that says, yeah, let's do this and then vote. That was part of the problem, is that we were voting on things because somebody made a motion, we'd have a little discussion, and then it was, well, exactly what was it that we voted on? Or so I personally always present it in writing and say, this is what I want you to vote on.
So that's why, to me, the idea of having agenda meetings first, where all these ideas are discussed and not voted on, but then you carefully write the resolution, it's presented at an action meeting, the next meeting, and that problem is resolved. You've had an open, transparent discussion of people's ideas, and that has resulted in the desire to have a resolution, and then the resolution is carefully written and brought up at the action meeting.
I believe what happens is you discuss it at the first meeting, and then it goes into the consent agenda at the second meeting and just gets voted on.
Well, so this wasn't discussed at the last. This is the first time we're reading this.
No, I'm talking about if you had agenda meetings.
Yeah, that would be good.
And I'm sorry, it's the first time we did distribute this.
Well, it showed up on an agenda. That was my that's what I questioned from the beginning. How did this end up on the agenda? Who decided we should rescind it?
Put it on the agenda. People put stuff on the agenda all the time.
Jeff, I think you really know.
No, I don't, actually.
I think.
Okay.
I have another question, but I don't want to, like, prompt the...
No, does somebody else want to speak?
No?
Feel free.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm looking at you, but I'm asking the council who voted for the ordinance that is now being rescinded to comment on why they voted for the original ordinance. Other than, because somebody else, the other two members, I hear very little from you. Maybe, is it possible to... Can you tell me why you voted for it?
Because I feel that we have discussed this thing for 3 years ad nauseum.
No, I'm talking about that particular ordinance.
Yes, that particular ordinance.
Okay, so why that ordinance?
Act if we needed to act. That's why I voted for it.
Okay.
Okay? Now, I hear a lot of negative comments in this room, but I also hear equally strong arguments for it out on the street, where people come in and say, boy, I don't understand what the problem is. For the cost of a Starbucks coffee a month, we could have a fire department? Okay. So I'm hearing both sides, not just what you, everybody, hears in this room. I hear it from everybody in town.
Okay.
And I listen to everybody in town.
Michael, you want to say something?
Issue here is what options that boroughs would have. Now, as we know, if the borough proposes a bond issue ordinance for a property that is not a redevelopment property, then, as you know, it's subject to referendum, which means that it's unpredictable. We don't know if and when we can get it through. We're under pressure from the ocean now to get something done, and presumably going to look for a plan of action that they're going to need.
Okay.
So this is, you know, there's a certain urgency that this thing might, I mean, I think probably had an urgency before, but this makes it even more urgent than it was. I'm saying before, that the issue of a bond, the issue that came up was whether or not I have a bond. Not if somebody, I would say at this point, if somebody can still, the committee looked at the various options. The committee looked at the option of rehabbing that building. The committee looked at, you know, rehabbing without expanding the building, which could be done, might accommodate the first aid squad. The thing is, the cost, we checked out the cost, the information that we got, and we have no reason to believe this information was not given to us honestly and based on the best judgment of professionals, that it was more expensive, that the least expensive options came down to being the option of, rather than trying to rehab a building with substantial substantial problems of building a new building instead, which is not really a surprise to people who have had to deal with existing buildings. That's often the case. But the issue of a bond is, you know, without a bond, it can't be done. That we, George,
right.
No, we went up, that was one of the things the committee went over, was that.
Okay.
That
no,
not,
it's a logical
a
way
it was
to.
Simply, you know, we explored that. Was it practical to do without a bond? And the answer is no, it can't be done. And if the issue is a bond, what we're looking at this point is, if people tell us, no, we're not going to contest the bond order, then this whole thing becomes irrelevant. Because then we can build it here, which probably is a better site. Although Mr. Trammell has brought up a good point. I have no problem with putting it at the garage, quite honestly. If we see that we don't get any bid, I mean, now we have it out for bid. Let's see if we get bids for the garage. If after a reasonable period of time we don't get any, then this might indeed be the best thing to do with the garage property.
So
when you talk about buildings,
did you vote for the same reasons?
Here with everyone talking at the same time.
Did you vote for the same reasons as they did for it?
I've been at almost every single council meeting for well over a year, including every single special council meeting that we had in July. I read the bulletins, I read the letters to the editor in the bulletins. I read the ordinances and the referendums. I read everything. I listen to everything. Just because I don't speak on everything
didn't say anything about you not speaking before. I'm asking you now what your reasoning was, if you care to share why you voted for it, that's all. Because it was my understanding from the last, I wasn't here 2 weeks ago, but that...
I'm having trouble hearing.
The council was not very informed as to what the import of the ordinance was.
Would you like to correct that, John?
Okay, let me back up.
Question
let
about
me back up.
No.
Can I just say...
Excuse me. I'm speaking. Just for a moment. The question about whether or not the council was informed was a question that Ms. Parrott asked. The way she phrased it apparently confused a couple of the council people.
Okay. So yeah. Let's just
so they understood
leave
what was
that.
Happening.
So I'll assume it understood, but if you don't care to say why, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just curious if everybody's on the same page, because the council definitely, with the exception of one council member, tends to all vote the same. So, but my other question was who was involved in the negotiations after that initial meeting with the advisory council?
I'm sorry, which negotiations?
With Millstone.
I was in the negotiations. Mr. Clark was in the negotiations. At various times, Mr. Ticknen was in the negotiations, and Ms. Lapote were in negotiations.
Well, no, I know there was that original
negotiations. There have been at least five, perhaps six discussions. I've had direct discussions with Markunis.
Okay, so as a group, or how did the negotiate? I don't know if Bob, like, you went numerous times over there and spoke
had
with them?
Telephone calls, meetings with our legislators, meeting with our senators.
No, I'm talking specifically.
About that. I had a conference call last week, as I pointed out when I began, with Markunis, who is the chief, not the chief, the chair.
The chairman of the
chairman of the fire commission, and three of our legislators. Then we had another meeting on
I'm talking about the council. Has the council been involved besides that one meeting where Jill
yes,
Lapote...
Yes, Mr. Ticknen has been involved in discussions. Ms. Lapote has been involved in discussions.
And how do they take place? Do we have a record of when these, you know, like...
We have notes that get reported on at every meeting very carefully. This is what we discussed. This is what they came up with. This is what they said. For instance, today I started out the meeting by talking about the latest conversation I'd had. Actually, it was a text with Mr. Markunis. About having gone back and talked about what would happen if we mixed in our assessed value with their assessed value, what that would do to the rates.
Okay, so most of it was you?
It's a variety of people, but yes, a lot of it is me.
And why?
One, because I'm the mayor, and that's normally how they do it. Two, to the extent that we could have people involved in the calls because they were free or they were available, we did that. And lastly, I am, Jeb, a professional negotiator. I've done it for 30 years.
So we know that you wanted to build this building very badly.
No, we don't
and
know
And now
that.
You we are the one.
We do not know that. And I'm getting a little annoyed at this.
Well, I guess my question is, don't you feel there's a conflict of interest? If you were
supportive of... I'm sorry, shall we send Peggy? She doesn't have a conflict of interest.
I've never been invited to any meeting. I have never been included in any negotiation, any meeting, anything.
It just surprises me.
From the first time the referendum was passed, I have never been included or asked.
And that suddenly the number was so high. And the Starbucks coffee, by the way, this is why I'm looking at the negotiation.
The number was actually lower.
We're looking at another bond.
The number is lower than the number they initially started with. They started with 11 cents per 100 assessed valuation.
So, Bob, did they say 90,000 when you were there?
Yeah, $94,800. Excuse me. If you'd like to speak to the council, please do.
No, I'm sorry. I just never heard about the 90,000 after the third year. How did that happen?
It's been 94,800. Our assessed valuation, total assessed valuation, is $84 million. This has been discussed at length. You just haven't been here. It's been $84 million is our assessed. $84 million is the assessed valuation of the town. The rate normally charged by Millstone is 11 cents per hundred of assessed valuation. It's actually 10.85 or something like that, which comes out to about $94,000 a year. That was where they started. In fact, they haven't really moved from that. They have come back and said they're willing to discuss other things. We brought up a number of possibilities. We brought up percentage of calls and did the calculations on that. We brought up number of calls. We brought up a whole series of options. Their position has been, look, we charge 11 cents per hundred for our residents. They are our constituents. We have to figure out a way to explain to them why it is that you're paying a lot less. What they came back with was, well, could we do a ramp up? Well, a ramp up still ends up at somewhere around $94,000. We came back and said, well, that's not going to work. Let's see if we can figure out other options. We brought in the legislators to help. We brought in the state to help. We brought in a lot of people to come up with different ideas.
So I'd like to see if I can make, if you have the notes and the times that you spoke with them and who was actually involved, that would be great.
I believe that all of the times are in the minutes. But in the minutes we talk about when it was we met with them, but I'll see if I can find out what the schedule was.
Okay. The other question I had was if council has looked at any other, we paid, I believe, during the advisory council, paid expert very small sum to come here and talk about our situation, and he shared with us some numbers about contracts that have been written between smaller townships and larger townships, and 90,000 is an unusually high number. So if Millstone truly is being that unreasonable, I'm just wondering if you've looked at any other townships?
There's the Interlaken Agreement, which we discussed.
Somebody answer besides the mayor?
I'm
just curious how much you know about
this.
So you were not involved in the negotiations?
No, I was not.
And
not
you were.
Is.
I was saying the 30,000, as you said, came from the Interlaken Agreement. Interlaken is a municipality that has practically the same population as Roosevelt, and they contracted with a fire company in Ocean Township, and their payment came to $30,000, although they put in addition, that was plus additional costs that they were driving. So it was actually came to a good deal more than $30,000.
But what does Interlaken have
came from
as
a basis for discussions.
Okay.
Their position, as Jeff was explaining, their position is, you know, for them to, they're elected, they can show to their constituents that they are expanding the fire district, effectively expanding the fire, either by our joining the fire district, which would be the cleanest thing to do, then we're locked in permanently with the fire district, and, you know, whatever their rate, they can't change the rate on us other than they change themselves, or just we pay them a contract, but that they cannot justify to their constituents charging us an amount that's substantially less than what their taxpayers are paying. Of course, in dollar amount, their taxpayers are paying a lot
they
more.
They said that to you?
Yes. This is Jim, but this is not, it's, they have said, okay. Yeah, they said at the meeting, they are an elected body. They, the fire district is a separate, they're separate
okay.
from those from town.
No, it's just interesting.
They have to justify to their people why they,
okay.
You know,
so that's in the minutes, in the notes, to that they said that. Is that in the...
I'm not sure what's in my notes, nor am I sure I'm going to disclose all my notes. The negotiation notes, but that's neither here nor there.
So you alone were involved in a lot of this, and
you
we're
keep
not
saying,
allowed
to. You keep saying you alone. You keep saying your goal is.
How
Let me be clear what my
you,
goal is.
How
Excuse
often
me.
Were you?
Let me be clear what my goal is. Okay? My personal goal is to have Millstone take over the fire department. That's been my goal for at least the last 6 months. Why? It's simpler. It's cleaner. We don't have to go through these discussions. It gets rid of a lot of issues. But I can't make up numbers. Okay? They come back with numbers. They come back. We try different approaches. The lowest approach that we were even able to get close to on a calculation was the number of calls that they do here, which came out to $45,000 a year. Okay, they rejected that out of hand. They said, we can't do that.
Okay. It actually perplexes me because in some ways I'm not a professional negotiator, but it seems like it would be free money in their pocket no matter what we gave them since they are
Absolutely, we took that approach. We pointed out that we have provided ambulance service to them for basically for the last year.
So it seems like we kind of lost that negotiation pretty badly, right?
We lost the negotiation?
Yeah, like we didn't do too well in the negotiation, right?
Actually, we were two people. If we say 30,000 and they say take a hike, what do we do?
Did you try any other townships?
They're more than 5 miles away. If they're more than 5 miles away, we have insurance problems.
Okay. I just think it would be interesting to, you know, find out more about what they'd actually be willing to pay. I'm sorry. I'm not convinced that the...
Well, we keep going back. I'm sorry you're not convinced. Thank you.
So they said... Can I ask you one more time? They said $90,000 is what we'd have to pay after year four. They definitely said that?
No. They said 11 cents per $100 of assessed valuation... actually 10.78 or whatever it is, 10.75, which comes out to approximately $94,800 based on our current valuation. We have since gone back, combined the two assessed values, done a recalculation which dropped it down to 0.095, which would be reduced it to by $252,000 from $1,850,000 to $1,600,000 for payments.
And so that's year four. They said, we'll give you $30,000 for 3 years, and then after a year four, you're going to pay what they pay, what our residents pay, correct?
No. That's not
I mean,
correct.
Now it's less, obviously, but slightly less.
No. Their starting position has always been, you will pay the same as Millstone residents.
Oh, so
where
they did not accept the 30.
Where they never accepted 30. Where we are now is they said, okay, we're willing to discuss a ramp-up. Now, understand this is after numerous conversations in which they were trying to find additional compensation from the state or the county to do this, finding other ways to find funding to do this, because they want to serve Roosevelt. We want them to serve Roosevelt.
Okay.
But they still have that problem. So basically where we ended up was... So far, where we ended up was we will give you a low rate for a couple of years and then bring you up to our rate.
Oh, so they did say that 30,000 or the low rate, the 80 something, the slightly lower rate, like
no.
It's okay. That's fine. I'll whatever materials you have regarding negotiations would be most welcome, and my main thought too is that I would just like to know how many people were involved in negotiation. It seems odd not to have a team. but
we had a team. You didn't like the result. It was $30,000 initial offer.
I would like to just clarify, since you so cavalierly said, let's ask Peggy, she doesn't have a conflict of interest, that as far back as last fall, when I was the lone dissenter on the council in support of the bond, that I've been excluded from every meeting and negotiation. And as you said, it's your discretion. You're the mayor. So the advisory commission was made up. Five-sixths of the commission were strongly in favor of a new building. And every negotiation, every meeting that has taken place since December, I have been excluded from, because obviously, as everyone knows, I am the lone dissenter.
You have chose to attend none of those meetings.
They
you chose to
so
attend to listen. You didn't listen to the engineers. We had five engineers who did a review. We had an architect. We had a CFO. You didn't listen to anything.
No, I was speaking. I didn't go to those meetings because they were a sham from the beginning. It was five-sixths of the people were strongly in favor. And when you finally hired a professional who disagreed with everything the commission wanted, then he was categorized as being, you know, out of his mind and not reliable, and he's, you know, he was in it. He had his own personal agenda. So from the beginning,
that was our insurance company who said that, not us. And as I have said before, if you want to accept his, if you want to accept his recommendations, then accept all of them. One, we need a minimum of three fire trucks. Two, the fire buildings that we have are incapable. Yes, he did. It's on the tape. I was there too. It's on the tape.
He also said we could look for other options.
And we are looking at other options. We've
been
trying to look for
other options.
Well, but my
point was about being the lone opposing council person and then being excluded from every kind of meeting and negotiation that has taken place since then. So everything has been composed of people who aren't, except for Mr. Clark, in favor of...
Why do we keep saying except for Mr. Clark? What is the matter with Mr. Clark? We selected... I particularly went out of my way to make sure that Mr. Clark was included in the discussions. Went out of my way to make sure that Mr. Clark and Mr. Trammell were available when the inspections were done and when we sat down with the engineers to get their reports on their inspections. They were included. I made sure they were included, and I actually had to fight the fire department to get them here. So, I don't understand. Bob's a lawyer. He's intelligent. He is clearly against the building of the two or the four bay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You chose one person. Otherwise, all of these meetings with Millstone and the state senators and all of our government officials have been attended by people on the council who support building a new building.
Things were not done by majority vote, though. It wasn't about a majority vote. It was a minority opinion, a minority report.
I'm talking about everything. All of these meetings that have taken place with Millstone, with government officials. I'm on the council longer than anyone here. I'm obviously interested, concerned. Except for you, I'm the longest resident here. But I have been completely excluded because I don't want what the mayor wants.
Excuse me, Peg. You just said something that hit a nerve with me. When I first moved to Roosevelt, there was a hierarchy in this town of who had the right to speak. I was here 5 years. You were here 3 years. You don't have the right to speak as much as I do. And he's been here 20 years, so he really has the right to speak.
I've never heard that.
I heard it. I heard it loud and clear when I came to my first meeting here. And I said, what the heck is this hierarchy thing? I pay my taxes just like the guy who lived here for 30 years.
I don't know anything
about
that.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
I just don't know anything.
Not from you. I didn't hear it from you.
Well, no, I wasn't on the council.
I heard it loud and clear from several people.
I'm only saying to be excluded from everything, it's pretty obvious why.
Okay. If we might. Resolution 16.
Wait.
Mr. Trammell. Yes.
All right, Trammell, Pine Drive. Just want to make a couple of...
Which number?
72. It's Joseph. Joe. Just a couple of quick points. I completely agree with Jeb about an agenda meeting and an action meeting. This way everybody's got time to chew it around. And even if there was just going to be your action meetings, then if the material could get to everyone more than 24 hours before. I know I check my email maybe once a day. I don't live on the phone or the email.
Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
Going out Friday.
But, yeah, just in general, that people could have that stuff very early on, they could really think about it.
Okay, I understand that, just so you understand, so everybody understands. We get things up until the last minute. We often get, especially from our CFO, which is very annoying, we'll come in an hour ahead of time. Okay, so, and it's also why you see an agenda, then you see an amended agenda. Mm-hmm. Because the idea is if we have the agenda, let's get it out there. If there are changes, let's amend them. Okay, so yeah. It's not intentional that.
No, I'm not saying intentional. Okay. The thing is, I'm just saying it's just much easier to digest stuff. I mean, I have to sleep on things, and I wake up the next day. I wake up in the middle of the night, oh, yeah, God, that should have been, you know. So, another thing, the Interlaken, I think they're
Interlaken,
I think they're with the Allenhurst Fire Department,
yes.
Not the Ocean Fire Department.
Allenhurst is providing for Lock Harbor.
All three.
Yeah, it's tripartite.
My old roommate is.
The agreement is tripartite, and basically what they did was Allenhurst provided the service, and then they divvied up the.
They figured it out. Yeah. And then.
And ended up being about $60,000 a year.
People will do that. People will figure things out like that. And another thing is, in my union when we were back in the day. Let me look at my notes here. We had a hard time negotiating a contract in 1990, 1991. Hollywood boycotted us, the whole nine yards there. People lost their houses, everything. And then towards the end, we made a deal with the producers so that they would come back. And after the deal was struck, some producers got back to me and said, oh, why didn't you go with an interim deal? So is there any way that we could say, you know, 30,000 is not so bad. Let's do that for 2 or 3 years while we try to figure out here in Roosevelt what we can do, you know, how we can put our own fire department together, whatever, but give us breathing time if we could negotiate something like that with them and then work something out here.
The problem is this. If we enter into a contract with them to provide service, we're basically still left with the issue of, A, do we dissolve our fire department?
Oh, no, I agree completely with what you're saying, but it gives us 2 or 3 years to figure it out.
But we don't have 2 or 3 years. We have to do something about these buildings now. That's the problem.
If Millstone
if they're not in use, we haven't gotten there. We
dissolve
the fire department. He's saying don't dissolve the fire department.
No, I'm just saying we can figure out whether to dissolve it, whether not to dissolve it, put it all on hold, look at the gas station, look at over here. Maybe lightning will strike and we'll get a good insurance deal over here or something like that. Who knows? But time, if we could have time on our side, I mean, us union guys looked at each other after the producer said, why didn't you just go for the interim deal? And we said, oh, God, we should have done that.
The interim deal is a possibility. The problem is that we have been putting off the state safety and building inspectors for a year and a half, okay? And we have said, we've got a referendum coming up, that's going to solve it. Okay, I'm sorry, we have a bond coming up, that's going to solve it. Well, then we have a referendum coming up, that's going to solve it. Now we have another vote, that's coming up.
Okay.
And they have gotten to the point where they're saying,
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying if there could at all be an interim deal, it would be to our advantage. Okay. Just a little point, you know. And the last thing is, so I did do that presentation about the gas station for the firehouse. To me, it just makes all the sense in the world, but that's beside the point. Whether I voted yes or whether I voted no, that's also beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what's good for the town that is the point, okay? And now, part of me really wants for there to be a fire department, first aid squad, all of that. I mean, I am from a first responder family, from a military family. I've been around this most of my professional career. So that's the part of me that really wants for there to be a fire department. On the other hand, there is what I brought up to the advisory commission that the only outburst I've heard at meetings here in town have been from out-of-town fire department officials, from council members screaming at audience members about fire department-related stuff, And from fire department officials calling people names and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the part of me that says, what's the problem with these guys not being professional is a real problem. Mm-hmm. And again, I wouldn't say it to you unless I've said it to them. I don't speak like this lightly. So I would... That's part of why the town is so divided.
Mm-hmm. Joe, I have said it to them personally. I've said it to them in these meetings.
But you understand that part of the town 100%. Really wants to do the right thing and have a fire department. The other does not want to be insulted or bullied mm-hmm. or pushed around
understand,
by people in uniform.
Understand that if we decided to do something that it is there is a very high probability that those firefighters, including those chiefs who left, would come back.
Okay, let me make one last point. In any municipal public building, there should be no flags except for the American flag, the POWMIA flag, the New Jersey state flag, or the Roosevelt flag. There shouldn't be any ISIS flags, KKK flags. No, I'm just saying, Rebel Yell flags, any of that, should be disallowed in our public buildings because a lot of that stuff is intimidating to people. Mm-hmm.
I don't think
that's really all I have to say.
I don't think anybody disagrees with you, but what are you referring to, Joe? Mr. Chmiel, sorry.
Nothing that I have not spoken individually to other folks with.
Is this regarding the rebel flag thing?
Dan and
because
I
you know that is a recognized flag of the United States.
No, it is not.
Oh God!
It's on the it's
sorry.
On the flag.org.
The Confederate flag.
Okay.
It's a symbol of rebel. It's a symbol of the biggest treason against the United States ever committed. But that's.
Let me ask the fact.
Yeah, but it's still part.
Are you telling me that this flag?
I don't care what people do on their own trucks, their own property, anything like that. And I have discussed it with them. I'm just saying.
I'm just asking you, has there been a flag in here in this building?
No, I'm just saying if I'm going to pay tax to have a new building built or building reconditioned, I expect for that to be one of the conditions.
Absolutely. Fair enough.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'll look at all of you.
Not too much to ask for public civility.
Yep.
All right.
Not too much to ask.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Now, we have a motion, second.
Can I just make a
discussion? Yeah.
I'd like to get the floor just to make a statement. The first of all, Millstone will be just as happy if we left things alone, because as long as we have a fire department, they have to provide it free of charge. So it's not like they're trying to get money out of us. The point is because they have to provide it free of charge under the Monmouth County fire protection system is set up. So you know they're not urging us to do away with the fire department, though that would. But they're just saying if the alternative took place, this is what the alternative would involve. From their standpoint, they're not looking to get money. One statement was made: everybody went into the commission wanting a four bay. I didn't go into it wanting a four bay. Councilwoman Lapode and I, in fact, were the ones who recommended that the alternative be presented of having the two bay, for the reason that some people might feel that we should not. And I was largely persuaded, in fact, by what Harry Carter had to say about the difficulties and the possible future expenses of a fire department. Mm-hmm. That it might that we're dealing with. But as long as we have a fire department, we're dealing with unknown costs. So, you know, I was the one in the council on the podium once who recommended that the town be given the opportunity to make this choice. Because nobody had been contesting about the facility for the first aid squad. That had never been a matter of dispute. The first aid squad, the fire department, has been the whole focus of dispute, whether we should have a fire department or not, whether we need how many engines we need, what equipment we need, what costs we need. Okay, so people, that's all.
Coming back to the agenda.
Yes.
There is a motion and a second on 16-83. Would the clerk please call the roll? Yes.
Can I just clarify one thing on 16-83?
Please.
So, currently 16-81 is in effect. And what 16-81 would do is to get the planning board involved in undertaking a preliminary investigation to determine whether the Borough Hall property is a redevelopment area according to criteria in the statute. It is not The planning board will make some preliminary investigation and then make a recommendation to the borough council, which will then have to come up for a vote. Is that correct?
That is correct. The preliminary investigation could be the acceptance of the current engineer's reports, or it could be more involved. That is correct.
But if the 1681 does not, in effect, make the Borough Hall property a redevelopment area. It doesn't do that. It just asks for the planning board to undertake a preliminary investigation.
Yes, and if the planning board came back, there are still, obviously, questions about how we would proceed, yes.
So it's
time. There are timing okay. questions. There are whatever. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And the planning board meetings are open to the public, and the planning board deliberates in public, so
mm-hmm.
the public would have an opportunity to hear all of the planning board deliberations on this.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, now I'm a little confused. We had a first, we had a second. Did we have a motion to table?
Did not.
Okay.
Can you just give me a synopsis of what was just said as far as...
Yes, 1681 sends the resolution 1681
mm-hmm.
is a direction to the planning board to study whether or not the borough property that we're referring to fits within the criteria of a redevelopment property.
But we want to, but this is to rescind that,
right.
sending
that
it to
correct.
The planning board.
That is correct.
Okay.
Time sensitive, what impact would passing it on to the planning board do as far as time sensitivity?
Well, we have to pass it to the planning board anyway. So any resolution that proposes designating property as redevelopment goes to the planning board. Then they report back, and then we can proceed or not proceed based on their report. Okay. Could you please call the roll?
Ms. Bona.
Abstain.
Mr. Impelzeri.
Aye.
Ms. Lapote.
Nay.
Ms. Malkin.
I have no idea.
Do you want to rescind?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I think it's another Hobson's choice. Just need a minute. Abstain.
Mr. Tecton.
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear Peggy's vote.
Abstain. Final count is?
2-1. With two abstentions. Two nays, one aye.
Okay.
Resolution,
non-ordinance.
Yeah. So it doesn't need any special vote. If it was an ordinance, it would need at least three to pass. You have a quorum. The majority was no. The vote is no.
Well, 1681 stays in effect. Okay, would anybody like to introduce the next ordinance?
Jill doesn't introduce it. I'll introduce it.
Jill, do you want to introduce bond ordinance 16-018? Yes.
Yes, I'd like to introduce bond ordinance 16-018, providing for various water sewer improvements, appropriating $128,100 therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $122,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof for Roosevelt.
I've just been advised. Ms. Bona has
if this is going to be pretty quick, then I can stay. But if we're going to be here another hour, I'd rather spend time with my family.
Do I have a second on the interest
second.
Of the bond? Okay. Is there any discussion at the table? No? Okay. Would you call the roll, please, on 16-018?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Amhelderry?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malcolm?
Aye.
Mr. Tickner?
Aye.
In view of the time and what's going on, do we want to waive committee reports, or is there something specifically important that we should need to report on?
The Environmental Commission didn't meet this month.
Okay.
That's my report.
Okay. Does anybody want to give a... Ms. Bona can leave.
Yes.
So we can continue on. We still have a quorum.
Right. I would just say that Mr. McGrath continues to be very dutiful in pursuing the offenders and getting a list, which I've distributed to everybody.
Okay, so if we're going to do the committee reports, do you want to leave? You gave your report. You want to hit the road?
Yeah. Okay. We're pretty much done, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. These are all signed.
Okay.
Okay, Michael, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Just that he had been quite dutiful in doing his... pursuing the various violators, and several of them have been in court with several of them. He's got compliance with several of them. I know you mentioned the property up on, on Rushdale Avenue, where the county is now inspecting it and is engaged in beginning the process of acquiring it. So it's got to clear the house and all the debris out of there and make it part of the county park, so which will be a big improvement.
Thank you.
Just hydrant flushing this tomorrow.
Right. Hydrant flushing tomorrow, guys.
9:30.
Do your laundry tonight. Counselor?
We received the recommended decision from the administrative law judge regarding the special ruling request by the holder of the alcoholic beverage commission license. I sent it by email. I don't know if it got forwarded.
Yes.
Did everyone saw it?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yep.
Yep.
It's a good one.
That's it.
It's
all. Read it.
Ms. Malkin?
No report.
Okay. Well, there being no old business, any new business not listed? Public comment on the non-new business? Or anything else for that matter? No? Here's your chance, man. First meeting. and the last time you're going to be able to do it with freedom. Because once you're up here, yeah, it gets tough. Okay. No need for a closed session?
None that I know of.
You have a motion.
Move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
Anybody opposed? Cool.
We did get to see a show after this.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, what happened? We could send you the opinion if you want it. But the